I just been at the bar, hanging out. Southern Steak and Oyster. Who said you can't go to the bar on a Friday morning? I just did it. We got a couple of hours here to pack in some content. Price Atkinson, Jason's going to be here in a little bit as well. And then hour three, Brad Powers. We are just around the corner from the Omni Nashville Hotel. I think by now you probably know our relationship with them. Southern Steak and Oyster, just a couple of blocks away. And they open their doors at 7. So I'm here at 7 Central Time to do some radio. So let's get going. Price Atkinson is with me from upstate South Carolina. His show on the ESPN affiliate up there. Price, how you been, bud?
What's happening, Bill? And let me just say, whoever said that you can't go to the bar in the morning to start the day, I don't know where that came from. I got to tell you, being in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl just a couple weeks ago, I can attest to that statement being mighty false. So I'm right there with
well,
what's going on.
Where you were, there's really no separation of night and day, though. You know, I mean, it really, it's just morning is the same as 10 p.m., right? It doesn't matter.
Where we stayed on St. Charles Avenue, there was a place literally right next door to our condo. And that place, obviously, like most everywhere in New Orleans, is 24 hours a day, 24/7. I walked by there going to get some coffee about 6:45, 7, because I was up roaring ready to go. I walked by this joint, Bill, this place called Igor's. And this place has got about at least 35, 40 people in there. The music is hopping. Dude comes out to have a cigarette. You would have thought it was 8:30, 9 o'clock at night on Bourbon Street. And now maybe it was the laundromat that has got in the back of the bar that had something to do with the people doing laundry and throwing down some bloodies. But I got to tell you, that place was hopping. It was 6:45. And seriously, you would have thought it was nighttime. But the sun was coming up. It was unbelievable.
Last time I was there was for Alabama LSU. So we're talking about 2011.
Yep.
And staying right there on Bourbon Street and eating lunch randomly one day on Bourbon Street. Nice place. I don't remember the name of it, but the oysters, the po' boy oyster sandwich was going, it was just wonderful. Blue cheese, the whole deal. But really nice place too. But the lady waiting on us said, "If I'm you, I wouldn't leave your cell phone sitting on the table right there, because what they'll do is they'll come down Bourbon Street, reach over, literally grab that cell phone, and go around the corner and have that thing sold in about a minute and a half." Seriously.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have my iPhone sitting on the table, because I did it a couple times, and luckily, because Sturgis may have been, because I had the fearless Mark Sturgis my sidekick there, watching over things. Maybe he scared him away. I'm not sure what he did, but I did come back to find my phone a few times. So good.
How about that?
I wish I'd known that before I went down there.
Okay. Several things I want to get into, but unfettered transfers. We spent some time on this yesterday, and it turned into a timeline that went about 28 miles on Twitter. Okay. It sounds fantastic, Price, to just let players, because it's about them, right? Just do whatever the hell they want. I think if we had unfettered transfers. Oh, and by the way, Price, on my show and Twitter, overwhelmingly people were against me. They want players to come and go basically every other day if they want. What's your thoughts on this?
My thoughts are a lot like yours, and I'm not sure exactly what you said, but here's what I will say about that. I think it is a disaster of an idea, and I understand giving some power, control back to the student-athletes athletes, let's call them what they are, but I think it would be a disaster, and I think it would be an unmitigated disaster, because right now, especially in college basketball, and I get football is really the heart of this, but it's across the board, especially when it comes to college basketball, because, as you know, transferring in college basketball is an epidemic right now. I mean, it gets worse every year. You can't count the number of transfers every single year in college basketball as it is, okay? Now, if this would be allowed to become, if this is true and this does happen, I think it's a horrible idea, and especially when it comes to basketball, but also football too, because instead of player development, getting players better, coaches are literally going to 24 hours a day be worrying about their roster, who's coming, who's going. It would probably get to the point where you're having to re-recruit your own players half the time. It might even come down to you're trying to recruit a player from another school in the handshake line after a basketball game. What if a coach decides to sit a really good kid, maybe a sophomore on his team, right? Really good, may have been disciplined for whatever reason. They're going through the handshake line after the game. Kid doesn't play much, and the other coach says, and it's probably against the NCAA rule, but you know what would happen. Hey, why don't you come play for me? Whispers in his ear. You'd be recruiting other coaches' players. You would be recruiting all the time. It would become the wild, wild west, as Scott Drew, the Baylor head coach, said. I think it would be a terrible, terrible idea to turn transferring into a yearly thing where you could go without sitting out, because you would have kids, oh, I don't like my situation here, I'm going to bolt off and go there. I think football, it would be different, Bill, because you obviously have, you know, restrictions on the number of kids you can take in a class, and you're only going to have so many spots open. I don't think it would be quite as bad in college football, but it's already off the charts ridiculously bad basketball right now. It would go to another level on steroids.
There are so many layers to this, but just one, again, random thought from yesterday. You've got an 85 limit in football, which is fine. You have a 25-yearly limit in football, unless you can play some back on the previous class because they were midtermers. If you are a coach or a school who gets gutted, let's say the guy leaves and everybody gets mad and transfers, or the guy gets run off because he's a scumbag, meaning the coach, whatever the case may be, and you lose a bunch of players and you've got a 25 limit, you might not ever catch up.
Oh, absolutely.
Think about that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because let's just say, if I'm on the coaching staff anywhere, and this does happen, I'm leaving some spots. So I'm going ahead and saying, you know what, we're not filling all our spots. And that happens some places now, because so you leave maybe one scholarship open or two in case a guy decides to come in, or you want to run a kid up. I'd leave a handful of spots open. And then let's say you get gutted on top of that. Gutted on top of that while you're already leaving maybe some spots open to try and maybe, you know, hey, we can coach a couple kids here, a couple there. Look, you could end up being down 30, and I'm worst case scenario, but you could end up having 35 spots to fill. That's crazy. That's totally crazy. I don't know. This unwavering support that this supposedly has with administrators, the administration and student athletes at the NCAA, I'd love to go sit in a room and talk to them to start hearing some of the benefits of this, because I really, as I started hearing about it, I can't think of many, if any at all, Bill.
I love it. Yeah, I'm telling you now, Price, yesterday it was me against the planet Earth. Maybe two people agreed with me. Everybody seems to think this is a good idea because, quote, it's fair, and also, quote, coaches can do it. That's their reason. The social justice warrior. A lot of the social justice warriors came out against me, too. It was a great show, man. I love being on Gilligan's Island alone. No Ginger, no Marianne, just me against everybody there, Price.
Yeah, and in fairness, I'll say, I mean, I was a transfer. I was a D1 student-athlete, and I was a transfer. I went from Georgia Southern after 1 year to Kentucky. That's where I swam my final 3 years. And so I didn't like my situation. I didn't have a penalty in swimming. I mean, this is obviously, we know, this is basketball, this is college football. My sport, I could go without penalty. We didn't have problems of transferring to start with, though, okay? But as we talk college basketball, the money sports, college football, this would go through a roster turnover that would decimate a lot. You talk about it. I mean, like you said, there's so many layers to this, Bill. The roster decimation that this could do to some of the, you know, the mid-level, lower-level programs. I mean, we say the rich get richer. Yeah, maybe the Alabamas, they want something like this to happen, the Clemsons, the Ohio State. But I think what that would do, that would absolutely gut so many of the programs that are on that level, just below it and down, and even further down. There is no benefit to this whatsoever. I understand protecting the kids. You want to let kids transfer without. I understand this in theory, the social justice, the fairness. But the unintended consequences of this are so mighty and so big. To me, this would have ramifications that would echo through football and basketball for years. And I just think it's one of the worst ideas the NCAA has come up with in years. I could not be further against this.
Price Atkinson with us, Omni Nashville Hotel. We're at the Southern Steak and Oyster. So Clemson has back Christian Wilkins and Mitch Hyatt. So loaded next year. Do we crown them today, Price? Do we just go ahead and do it?
Yeah, huh? Yeah, right. You're not crowning anything. Would them and Alabama now be probably the two co-favorites certainly to make the playoff? Yes, no question about that. Schedule comes out this week. Incredibly favorable schedule with what they've got. They play every game on Saturdays. The bye week sits in the middle of the season. Well, all that aside, it comes down to Jimmy and Joe's, right? And they got a whole lot, and they got a bunch of them that decided to come back. That largely, Bill, and the reason why a bunch of them did it, besides Christian Wilkins, you know, getting the second round draft grade, is that loss to Alabama. You get the snot beat out of you on national television, the national semifinal. I think that one left a lot of those guys, you know, smarting and pissed off, to be frank about it. And I think because they left pissed off. When they left New Orleans, coming back to Clemson after getting it handed to them, I think a lot of these guys decided this is not the way we want to go out. And I think that's a big reason why that Cleveland Farrell, I think that's a big reason why Austin Bryant, Mitch Hyatt, and especially Christian Wilkins, who I think surprised everybody. I mean, Wilkins coming back was as big of a surprise, at least in my book, as Bryce Love deciding to return to Stanford. But that caught everybody off guard. We knew Deion Kane was out the door. That was a given. Ray McLeod surprised some people. Van Smith had a great season. I don't know if he'd have a better one next year. But Mitch Hyatt coming back was big. But Christian Wilkins shocking everybody. That was unbelievable. And you got a front four that's easily the best in college football. Then you throw in a couple five stars and Josh Belk, a top 50 kid out of right here at Louisville High School in the state. And then you get Xavier Thomas, the number one pass rusher. I mean, it's ridiculous what they're going to have on defense. But here's the thing about Clemson, Bill. They have got to get better up front on the offensive line. Jackson Carman, we know, is coming in from Ohio. Urban Meyer strikes out on Carman, who had recruited for years. The right tackle position at Clemson has been a revolving door with Ankrum and Pollard the last couple seasons. They have got to get better on the offensive line, specifically running the football, because you can't run for just 70-some-odd yards against Miami and then do it against Alabama and really expect to win. I mean, they beat Miami into the ground, but you've got to be able to run the football, and that starts up front. They haven't been able to really find the guy to run the ball, whether it's Etienne or Feaster, but they got to get better on the offensive line. I'm not crowning anything. Clemson certainly has got as good of a chance as Alabama. I would put them right there as a favorite next year, even money, both of them. But there's no way you're going to put the crown on top of their heads right now. No chance.
Trevor Lawrence play next year?
Great question. That's the million-dollar question. I've had coaches tell me that he is the most talented quarterback that will walk into the door on campus there since they have gotten there. We're talking the last 10 years. And, yes, Deshaun Watson, as we all know, is included in that 10-year period. They say he is the most talented guy. I have a hard time believing that he beats out Kelly Bryant to be the starting quarterback. I could see a situation that happened maybe like Georgia, if Bryant got hurt, where like Fromm came in, took over for Eason and never relinquished it. I could see something like that happening. But Bryant worked his tail off last summer to be in position to fend off Hunter Johnson, Derek Cooper coming into this past season. I don't know if that's going to be enough, even with Trevor Lawrence enrolling for spring ball, going through summer practice to beat out a guy that took his team to the national semifinal. Could it happen? Yes. Will he play? I'd almost bet my life that he'll definitely play. Will he be the starter? The million-dollar question. I would hedge to say no, he will not to start the season. But crazier things have happened, as we all know.
Price, next time I have you on, have some opinions, okay? I'm getting tired of this, all right?
Anytime, babe. Anytime.
I appreciate you, brother.
Have a great weekend, Bill. Thank you.